The following program is created for informational purposes only and does not constitute as medical advice. The views and opinions expressed on this program are those of the host. If you think you may have a medical emergency, consult your doctor.
This is where the healing begins.
This is Maximize Your Life with Dr. Leanne of Greenwood Family Chiropractic, where it's not only about neck and back pain, but a place for whole body wellness. Listen this hour as Dr. Leanne is here to share her wellness education to help you live a maximized life. For more information, visit GreenwoodFamilyChiropractic.com. Here's Dr. Leanne.
Good morning. Thanks for joining. You're listening to Maximize Your Life. I'm Dr. Leanne Schluter, Greenwood Family Chiropractic, 317-893-2853. That's 317-893-2853. GreenwoodFamilyChiropractic.com. That's GreenwoodFamilyChiropractic.com to schedule your initial exam and consultation. Today we're talking about coffee. Now you might think, I am not a coffee drinker, and that might be okay, because I know you probably know someone who is, or you're going to think, I'm not going to listen because she's going to tell me that I shouldn't drink coffee, and that is exactly not what's going to happen. There are some things in life that I cherish, like my husband, my children, my family, and my cup of morning coffee. So I have gone through ebbs and flows and reasons why I've taken breaks on coffees, which I can share with you. Though that being said, I kind of want to look at some of the different risks that come with them when we talk more about mycotoxins. I want to talk more about anti-tumorous effects or polyphenols. But more than anything, if you're going to continually or consistently drink coffee, we have the opportunity and ability to make it better, right? Like we say, one of our mottos in the office is to make it better. And this is no different. So if you say, hey, I love coffee, but, and it's not just you're going to think make it better by stop putting in the Girl Scout cookie creamer, which is true. Though that being said, if you're just someone who likes good old black coffee, there is a good, better, best that one will not only make you healthier, but make you feel better and enjoy it even more. So before we dive down deep into that, let's talk about some news.
Dr. Leanne's health news.
Some studies suggest that too much sugar can literally mess with the brain.
Health news now. One of the world's most commonly prescribed medications.
Today, the average American consumes 22 teaspoons of sugar a day.
Protesters say they just should not be forced to get this shot, not by the government.
For today's health in the news, coffee could be more than a morning pick-me-up. So they talk about a morning cup of coffee can do more than just perk you up, according to new research. Moderate amounts of caffeine intake, which is defined as about 3 cups of coffee or tea a day. Let's be clear. 3 cups would be in reference to an 8-ounce cup. So 3 times 8 would be 24. So for the average person, if they are getting a large coffee, cold brew or warm, warm hot coffees, the large ones are typically about 20 ounces. The large iced coffees are a little bit more, but you also have ice in there too, right? So 3 cups of coffee. So I'm not talking about the people who are like, I drink a ton of coffee. I drink a whole pot a day. I'm not talking about you. That's actually where you took something good and turned it into something bad. We'll talk about that later. But so moderate amounts of caffeine intake defined as 3 cups of coffee or tea a day were associated with a lower risk of developing cardiometabolic multimorbidity. I'll explain what that is. Said lead author, associate professor of epidemiology and biostatistics at Soochow University. So cardiometabolic multimorbidity, also known as CM, is the coexisting of at least two cardiometabolic disease processes, such as coronary artery disease, stroke, and type 2 diabetes. So they said, coffee and caffeine consumption may play an important protective role in almost all phases of this cardiometabolic multimorbidity, CM. Researchers have analyzed data from about 180,000 people in the UK Biobank, a large biomedical database and research resource that follows people long term. Those involved did not have cardiometabolic disease at the outset. The information included in the patient's self-reported caffeine consumption through black coffee, black or green tea, and the cardiometabolic diseases they developed throughout their primary care data, hospital records, and death certificates. Again, this was a study that was published recently in Journal of Clinical Endocrinology and Metabolism. So moderate caffeine consumers had a reduced risk of new onset cardiometabolic multimorbidity. The risk was reduced by, listen to this, 48% if they had 3 cups of coffee, or 40% if they had 200 to 300 milligrams of caffeine daily, compared to those who didn't drink or drank less than 1 cup. So this research does not apply to someone who is maybe drinking decaf tea or decaffeinated coffee. I would say 200 to 300 milligrams. If the average cup of coffee is about 80 to 100, that would make sense, 3 cups. Or you could say, for example, a shot of espresso is between 75 and 80 milligrams. So same thing, you'd think 4 times 8 is 30, that's too much. So like 3 shots would be of espresso, would be the equivalent to 240 milligrams. So it kind of cut the difference there. The study had large sample sizes and multi-biomarkers to support the findings, making it a strong look at how caffeine affects heart health. These observations added to the growing body of evidence that caffeine and commonly consumed natural substances that contain caffeine, such as tea and coffee, may enhance cardiovascular health. Now here's what researchers don't know. The methodology is strong and the results line up with the existing data about caffeine and heart health, but there are still questions about the extent of the connection between caffeine and heart health. They said it's important to emphasize that while these data suggest a relationship between caffeine, tea, and coffee and a reduced risk of combination of cardiovascular disease, we need to be careful before we infer true causal effects. Because the study is observational, it can only show a connection between caffeine and heart health. Other factors may be the cause of improved heart health, he added. It remains possible that the apparent protective effects do not truly exist at all and that the positive association are being explained or unknown. They said, should you start drinking coffee? So, plenty of literature shows a benefit from caffeine consumption. Several studies have suggested a lower risk of diabetes. And contrary to popular wisdom, drinking caffeine and coffee is associated with experiencing a lower risk of abnormal heart rhythms, he added. He is Dr. Gregory Marcus, who is the Associate Chief of Cardiology for Research and Professor of Medicine at the University of California, San Francisco. He probably knows a little bit what he's talking about. It is important to mention that more is not better. So I think like that's really important. So like if 3 cups is what they say is kind of the excess max, if you're doing a pot, which is 12 cups of coffee, then that would be 4 times more, which would be close to 1200 milligrams, which is actually very unhealthy for your heart. So they said, even if caffeine, coffee, and tea and the amounts described in this study are indeed healthy, there's also strong evidence that very high dose of caffeine, particularly when included with artificial concoctions like energy drinks, may actually cause harmful and even dangerous heart rhythm problems. So what they said there is that your energy drink caffeine is not the same as your coffee drink, that your coffee period that might have caffeine in it. So. But it's what type you get, ensuring that you've can look for very specific aspects when it comes to a good, healthy coffee. I tell you what they are next.
You're listening to Maximize Your Life with Dr. Leanne. We're online with life-changing results and success stories at greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. You're listening to Maximize Your Life with Dr. Leanne. Hear full shows on the podcast link at freedom95.us. Here's Dr. Leanne.
Good coffee, strong coffee. I need to have some. Good coffee, strong coffee.
Today, I will share some tips and tricks about your coffee consumption. If you're listening for the first time, I'm Dr. Leanne Schluter. This is Maximize Your Life, Freedom 95. I am part of Greenwood Family Chiropractic, 317-893-2853, 317-893-2853, greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. That's greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com to schedule your initial exam and consultation. Now, for all the coffee drinkers out there, I feel like we get bullied a little bit because I am a fellow coffee drinker. And I am now currently at this stage in my life that I drink black coffee because I truly like a good quality cup of coffee. Now, that being said, I have done some research and a little bit of a deeper dive about coffee and the benefits of coffee. So I wanted to talk about that, but I do feel like there is a proper timing in the morning. More recently, looking into something called adenosine receptors. And so when we talk about adenosine receptors, there is a timing when it comes to have caffeine significantly benefit your energy levels, as well as your overall well-being. Secondary, how to consume coffee and the timing of consuming coffee so that you don't have that midday crash. Now, talking about some health benefits before we dive into that. Obviously, we talk very much about boosting energy levels, right? Because it's caffeine. So I do want to talk about, I'll talk about it now and I'll touch base on it in a little bit. But here's why. So coffee contains caffeine. Caffeine is a central nervous system stimulant. So it's obviously known for its body, like its increase in energy level, how to fight fatigue. But there's an actual mechanism of why. So this is because caffeine blocks the receptors of a neurotransmitter called adenosine. This increased level of other transmitters in your brain that regulate your energy level, including dopamine, right? So that's where you get these little like dopamine hits when you drink coffee. It's your feel-good hormone. So one study found that consuming caffeine increased time to exhaustion during a cycle of exercise by 12%, significantly reducing the subject level of fatigue in participants. That's why a lot of pre-workouts will come with caffeine. Now, the other one that I think is great is brain health. So again, there is more than just I have to drink it in the morning to get up because I can't move. Now, that being said, there are somewhat mixed reviews depending on, but there are some research that talks about how coffee may be able to protect against certain neurodegenerative disorders. Now, I will agree that I don't think you're just going to drink coffee and all of a sudden never have Alzheimer's or Parkinson's. Though that being said, there was a review of 13 studies. People who regularly consumed caffeine had a significantly lower risk of developing Parkinson's. What's more is caffeine consumption also slowed the progression of Parkinson's disease over the course of time. Another observational study that were 11 of them in more than 29,000 people also found that the more coffee people consumed, the lower the risk of Alzheimer's disease. Another aspect too is the risk of depression, right? So we're just talking about brain health. So again, and you're always going to find maybe a study or two that's against this, but the amount of studies that have come out in support of this. So according to a review of 7 studies, each cup of coffee people consumed per day was linked to an 8% lower risk of depression. Another study found that drinking at least 4 cups of coffee each day was associated with a significantly lower risk of depression compared to those just drinking 1 coffee a day. At least 4 cups of coffee a day. That's a lot of coffee. Again, there was another study on more than 200,000 people that showed drinking coffee was linked to a lower risk of death by suicide. This is one against liver, could protect against liver. I'm going to dive down into this as well in this show, but cholinergic acid, there's anti-tumor effects, polyphenols, all which can have protection against the liver. So we're going to talk about that a little bit next. But one more before we talk into adenosine receptors and timing of coffee. We looked at how it supports heart health. So again, a study reviewed found that drinking 3 to 5 cups per coffee a day was tied to a 15% reduced risk of heart disease. Another review of 21 studies showed that drinking 3 to 4 cups of coffee daily was associated with a 21% lower risk of stroke. And one study, this was 21,000 people, found that increased coffee intake was associated with a significant decreased risk of heart failure. So they said, obviously, be mindful about blood pressure, because people with unmanaged blood pressure may need to limit or take in moderate amounts of caffeine. I will say that I feel as if coffee drinkers have gotten kind of a bad rap, more so on what's put in the coffee. Like, you're not just drinking black coffee. When you look at some of these drinks and what are put in there, we kind of claim that they're coffee drinks, but they're cups of, you know, heavy cream with so many pumps of sugar or artificial sugars, sweeteners. For example, a venti iced pumpkin spice latte from Starbucks has 65 grams of sugar. 65 grams of sugar is, oh my gosh, almost 18. It's almost 18 packets of sugar in it, right? So of course, when you're like, oh yeah, when in reality it only has 18 grams, almost 500 calories in that one drink. Another one, for example, like a caramel macchiato, that has 42 grams of sugar, which 42 grams of sugar is 11 and a half packets of sugar, right? So it's got all, and that's not to include all the chemicals that you're putting in there. So there are benefits of coffee, but it's what you do to the coffee. Now, that being said, let's talk timing of your morning coffee. Now, you have something called the cortisol awakening response. So when we wake up, our bodies experience a natural increase in cortisol levels. It's known as the cortisol awakening response. We've been taught for a very long time, and I've probably spoken, like, cortisol is a bad thing. But cortisol is necessary. Cortisol is not necessarily bad in short spikes. So it helps us feel alert and awake. So we want to have this early morning cortisol spike. The problem when you have it later in the day, this cortisol spike, is that, like, for example, they looked into depression and those individuals have a later morning cortisol spike. Now, that being said, we talked about adenosine receptors. So adenosine, again, is the neurotransmitter that promotes sleepiness, and its levels somewhat increase throughout the day. So in the assumption that we get a good night's sleep and we sleep well, like we have a proper REM cycle, proper sleep cycle, what happens is even when you wake up in the morning, you could be refreshed and wonderful, you're still going to have some level of adenosine that's still in your bloodstream. Now, when we look at the timing of this in your consumption of caffeine, is that the thought process would be waiting 90 to 120 minutes before you consume your first caffeine. So when you consume caffeine, it blocks these adenosine receptors. So that's what makes us feel more wakeful. Adenosine promotes sleepiness. So if you have caffeine, it blocks those adenosine receptors and makes you feel more awake. The problem with that is that it doesn't actually give us more energy. It just delays the sleepiness and tiredness. Fun fact, the half-life of caffeine is about 8 hours for the average person, which is why often if people aren't sleeping well, we'll say don't consume any caffeine after noon. Reason being, because by 8 p.m., we want to start that circadian rhythm cycle. So when we're trying to optimize that circadian rhythm cycle, we want to utilize that. And part of that circadian rhythm cycle is that morning cortisol awakening response. So by delaying your consumption of coffee by 90 to 120 minutes, it allows for your body to start moving out that adenosine. But when we get that cortisol spike, that's where our body can utilize that caffeine better, and we don't have that buildup of adenosine so much. So what does that mean? When you consume caffeine 90 to 120 minutes after, it delays that, you don't have as much of that crash. So that kind of 2 to 3 o'clock, right? So say you have like a 6, 7 a.m. coffee. So 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 1, 2, right? So that would be 8 hours. So 2 to 3 o'clock crash where you say, hey, I've got to have an 8 a.m. coffee and I have to have a, you know, 3 o'clock coffee for like an afternoon pick me up. One, that's very much too late because of the half-life of caffeine. Because if you have a 2 or 3 o'clock coffee, that caffeine is still in your body between, you know, 10 and 11 p.m. And you might personally say, caffeine doesn't affect me. I'm able to fall asleep. Though the problem is that you might be able to get to sleep, but the quality and type of sleep cycles may not be the greatest, right? So you might be able to get to sleep, but quality or the different kind of depths of sleep, if you will, is what the problem is. So here are some ways to help kind of encourage that good cortisol awakening response. When you wait that hour and a half to 2 hours to give your body its time to wake itself up naturally, here's a couple things you can do. Number one, hydrate. And that hydration would be with water. It'll also help with morning bowel movements, but this is a coffee show, not a bowel movement show. Getting sun. So there is quite a large amount of research about sunlight, UV rays, into your retina. This is not me telling you to stare at the sun, right? Let's get that. That being said, the more sunshine you get into your eyes, if you can't get outside or when you wake up, if it's still dark out, you can do artificial light, though the best light that you could have would be more naturally occurring light. Get that in your eyeballs. The other thing that you can do to get cortisol flowing is moving your body around. So this could be as something as simple as doing jumping jacks, doing air squats. You can get bands or small weights for a room or your garage. My garage is full of boxes right now. And I still have like a little tiny space to work out. I don't need very much, right? But what this does is allows for your body to wake itself up naturally and allows for adenosine to build up a little bit more. So then what will happen is not only will your first cup of coffee actually produce more noticeable feeling of alertness due to the adenosine buildup, but could also help reinforce your natural sleep-wake cycles as well. So if you start drinking caffeine later in the morning, you'll be less likely to have that energy dip around lunch. So I thought that was just fairly... So I have been utilizing that quite a bit over the last, on and off for probably the last year or so. And I can say that has made a very big difference in terms of that like mid-afternoon crash. I will say there are some times that, for example, the last couple, I've been doing a 5:15 a.m. workout. Like I have to be there ready at 5:15 in the morning. Not my alarm goes off at 5:15 in the morning. So there's like get ready time, shoes time, transit time, right? All the things to like be there and prepared. So I have been doing caffeine a little bit earlier in the morning. And when I talk about the adenosine and the neurotransmitters of the brain and how awake you feel, I will say a noticeable difference on like a Sunday when I get up a little bit later, I hang out before I have my first cup of coffee on the way to church. It is very different the rest of my day in terms of awakeness, alertness, energy when I stave off that hour and a half to 2 hours before I start drinking coffee. So just one of those aspects where you can make those little bit of changes that might have a very large difference. When we come back, we'll talk about the best way to drink decaf coffee. The answer is not don't. But then two, more of the anti-tumor effects that coffee can have next.
You're listening to Maximize Your Life with Dr. Leanne. We're online with life-changing results and success stories at greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. You're listening to Maximize Your Life with Dr. Leanne. Videos, tips, deals, and more. Find Greenwood Family Chiropractic on Instagram. Here's Dr. Leanne.
Welcome back. You're listening to Maximize Your Life. I'm Dr. Leanne Schluter, Greenwood Family Chiropractic. 317-893-2853. 317-893-2853. GreenwoodFamilyChiropractic.com. That's GreenwoodFamilyChiropractic.com to schedule your initial exam and consultation. Today we're talking coffee. You know, I was like, I don't know if I'm like sad. Sometimes I'll choose a show and get rolling and get content. And I'm like, man, I need a little bit more information. And the coffee show is coming really easily. And honestly, I think it's because I truly have done a good amount of research into a good, clean coffee. I have come to the conclusion that I'll share this with you guys. You might think it's funny. There was one day I was in the office and all the team was around and they, I can't remember what we were talking about, but they said, yeah, because Dr. Leanne hates coffee or hates tea. And I was like, I hate tea? And they're like, yeah, you hate tea. I'm like, I don't hate tea. What would ever make you think that? And everyone was like, I don't know. We all thought you hated tea. And then I realized that there were only a few times in the office where I actually drank tea. Like I brought it in and drank it. And I was probably a little bit cranky. And it was mostly because coffee brings me joy and tea does not. So everyone thought that I hated tea and I didn't really hate tea. I just love coffee more. So if I'm going to drink something virtually every day, then if I want to ensure that it's clean for my body, right? So one of the things that is important to me is when we look that it is chemical free. You can often find certified organic, which obviously would be the better of all of the aspects, right? Is avoiding chemicals. I will say that beans themselves, coffee beans, are one of the most highly, highly sprayed products that you'll have. So getting chemical free. Another one that I will often look for when it comes to coffee, if you can, is shade grown. There are a lot of processes where more specifically the shade grown beans are less acidic. And so when people have like belly aches or whatnot, a lot of the times the problems with beans are poor agriculture, harvesting, the processing practices, bad seasonal weather, problematic transportation for storage. The bean itself doesn't really do a great job. So one, it's highly sprayed. Number two, where it's grown. Number three, if it's wet when they harvest it, this is often where you will find that it builds more mold. And so this is one where sometimes for not as big companies, and you'll see this a lot at farmers markets, that you can ask different farmers, are you pesticide and herbicide free? And they'll say yes or no. And even though they might not have, and majority of small local farmers won't, have the certified organic, you know, because that's, gosh, I looked up the price. It was probably 10 years ago. 10 years ago, it was like $8,000 a year, right? So a lot of the times you'll look, and depending on what that third party testing is, you want to look for free of pesticides, mold, and mycotoxins. Most of the time when people say, I don't really feel good when I drink coffee, what I've found is that there is likely a mold or a mycotoxin that's in there, and that's what's making you not feel good when you drink it. Kind of like with red wine and sulfates, right? People will say, like, red wine and I just don't get along. I'm allergic to it. I don't feel good. And, or they'll, like, break out, and that's typically sulfates that'll do that. So you can have like sulfate-free red wine, just like you can have mold-free coffee. But most of the general brands, the cheap brands that you get at very high bulk or are from like the standard coffee shops, those specifically because they're made in such high yields, that processing, they don't necessarily go that extra mile because it takes more time and it takes more money. So of course, if they're not going to see that on the back end, they can't charge you exponentially more, or the grocery stores more, because then the grocery stores are going to have to mark it up for you. You're going to have more of that mold or mycotoxins. I can tell you, it was several years back. My oldest was young. And we went to church, and then we went out for breakfast afterwards. And I remember my husband saying, "What's wrong with your face?" And I was like, highly offended, because I'm like, "What do you mean?" Like, my eye felt kind of funny, but I didn't think anything about it. But my whole face was like pursed, like my lips were, and my eye did this like weird thing. And the only thing I had had that morning was church coffee. And I was like, "Oh no." So now when you're like, why are these people bringing in their own coffees? Because some people's churches' coffees are free. Like, why would you bring your own in? Because I don't like mold. I don't like drinking mold or mycotoxins. And I had a patient the other day, and she said, you know, I'm allergic to mold. And I'm like, we're all allergic to mold, right? Like, there's not a good, well, maybe some more than others. But you think about, like, a lot of antibiotics were formed from mold spores. But yeah, so I think that's kind of interesting and noteworthy. So pesticide-free, mold and mycotoxin-free, and then just like a good sourcing. The one thing that I really think is very interesting is that we've always thought that like coffee is not a good thing for you. But I was looking at chlorogenic acid, CGCAs. And I was doing a deeper dive into that because I had seen it before and I was like, oh, that's probably a good idea. But since I was like actively talking about it on the radio, I thought it would be a really great thing too. I'm probably not going to say these correctly. These are natural diterpenes that are extracted from coffee bean. Cafestral in Kawalio, Kahweol. But what they found is that these two have revealed that the two diterpenes demonstrated multiple potential pharmaceutical actions, such as anti-inflammation, hepatoprotective, so again, that's liver, anti-cancer, anti-diabetic. They said the most relevant mechanism involved down-regulating inflammation mediators, increasing glutathione, inducing apoptosis of tumor cells in angioneogenesis. But yeah, extracted from coffee. This was published in International Journals of Molecular Science, published in 2019. I found another really interesting aspect. Again, this is all in moderation. But they talked about chlorogenic acid reduces abdominal fat. polyphenols have antioxidant processes. So the type that I typically will try to buy is Purity Coffee. It's one that, you know, it's not as cheap as like the grocery store coffee. But I have a colleague who was like, I don't drink coffee. It doesn't make me feel good. And so I said, well, if you're ever willing to try again, I have a kind that you might like. Oh, and I don't have like this massive caffeine crash that comes with it. And he tried it and he was like, those beans are awesome. And you're like, yep, you know that you're a certain age when you get to the point where you're like, oh, I can tell a difference in coffee beans and the way it makes me feel. What's interesting too is that they actually, the way that they roast the bean is they have one of the highest, their goal is to have the highest amount in antioxidant compounds that amplify their health benefit. So purity.com, you can just sign up for their, I don't get any kickback from this, but it's making me think maybe I should go be an affiliate because it truly is one that makes quite the difference. Your first time, I believe you get 20% off. The other thing that I really like and think is noteworthy for some of you individuals who may be doing decaf is that if your decaffeination process is done standard, it is done by a chemical extraction process. So what that means is how they pull that caffeine out of the coffee beans is through chemicals. Now, there are different ways to extract caffeine. The one that I typically always look for is the Swiss water decaffeination. So what that means is the Swiss water process is a 100% chemical-free decaffeination method that uses water to decaffeinate the coffee. So they said, surprisingly, the large majority of the world's decaffeination still happens through chemical-based processes using methylene chloride or ethyl acetate. So a big difference in the process is that chemicals never enter the facility, let alone come into contact with the process or the coffee. So comparing our process to other chemical-free processes, ours has a reputation, which is the Swiss water decaffeination process, that has a very high quality, particularly when comparing pre- and post-decaffeination samples where they're looking to maximize likeness across them, right? Like, you know how just sometimes decaffeination just doesn't sound as good, doesn't taste as good. And that's why, is because they're likely using just these really and you could try to say, oh, all of those chemicals are out by the time you drink it. But, you know, 8 years ago, they said no big deal to feed chicken arsenic to fatten up their breast meat because the chicken's organs gets rid of all of them. And then like a couple years ago, they were like, oh, man, red flag, red flag. It's actually full of arsenic. Like, yeah, it's kind of a red flag. I feel like someone probably should have thought about before they started feeding arsenic to chickens. But anyway, it's just the U.S. population. So now let's also talk about the process on how you make your coffee, because I feel like that is important too. We'll talk about the old school standard method, which was the coffee pot. I will say that is a fair method as long as you are not using, it's not my favorite. I'll just start there. It's not my favorite, but in a good, better, best scenario, there's worse, but there's definitely better. So you're putting it through a paper filter and those white filters are bleached. So the unbleached filters are the best. Though that being said, a lot of these really good polyphenols and these amazing acids like chlorogenic acid that you can get, you can get rid of those because you're filtering in a really good healthy oil through paper. My most favorite method, and I will nose-to-nose argue this to the death, that this takes no more time than brewing a pot of coffee. I turn on a kettle on my stove, and then I go get ready. And by the time I get out of the shower, the water is boiling. And then I pour said water over, I let it cool a little bit, I'll pour that water over ground beans. So yes, I grind my beans every morning. Also, that sounds high maintenance. It's not. I pour them into the bag. So the same amount of time it takes me to open up the bag, I boop, boop, boop into the coffee grinder and I pour it in there. And I can do that a couple times. So I don't even have to do that every time. Then I pour the water over and I let it sit. And you know what's awesome is that as you mix it up and you plunge it down into a water press. Why can't I think of the name of it? French press. A French press, right? So French press, you can actually see on the top of your coffee all of those really good oils. Like coffee can be so great if you allow it to be. You can use that in terms of like health-related benefits if you do it properly. Now, one of the worst things I can think about is the Keurig and the K-Cups. I mean, you're saying, hey, I'm going to have this reservoir of water that's going to sit in there that I can never truly clean, right? Which is why people have a lot of the mold in the lines, the mold in the tanks. And then we're going to run it through hot plastic, scalding hot water through plastic. What could ever go wrong? Oh, with a aluminum foil top. And you're like, but it's convenient. And you're like, you know what's not convenience? Mold and heavy metals and plastic in your bloodstream. Because then you're like, oh, I don't know why I can't stop gaining weight. My hormones are off, or I have this weird bloodborne cancer, all of these things. And you're like, man, it probably wasn't one K-cup. It probably wasn't two. But if that's one of the chemicals on top of all of the other chemicals, it's just one of those ones. If someone's like, hey, K-cup or no, none. And I'm like, I'll pass. I'll drink water instead. I just won't do it. I won't do it. You've just got to think about what you're actually putting in your body. So you're like, coffee is good, but not all coffee is created equal. And so I think that's just one of the aspects of, you know, when you're like, oh, are you the doctor of coffee? And I'm not, right? But here's what I see is that we inevitably at our office at Greenwood Family Chiropractic work on getting to the root cause. And when there are simple aspects, when you're like, I enjoy coffee, coffee brings me joy. And we say, hey, here's a better aspect on how to do those things. Wouldn't you want a doctor like that on your side, in your corner, helping educate you? And that's inevitably what we do at Greenwood Family Chiropractic. So I will say that the best time when you're thinking, gosh, they saw a person in the office the other day and I said, how long have you been listening to the radio? And they said, 5 years. I said, why didn't you come in 5 years ago? And they said, well, there was nothing wrong with me. And I said, well, in reality, you have phase two degeneration in your neck, so you just didn't feel any pain, right? Like the whole reason why preventative is not waiting for something to be wrong to then shift your mindset to do something about it. Preventative is actually being proactive and doing something before something inevitably comes wrong. So that's what we do at our office, Greenwood Family Chiropractic, 317-893-2853, 317-893-2853, greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com to schedule your initial exam and consultation. Look forward to next week, but always remember that your power is on.